There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So I don't want to be negative Nelly here, or a negative Nat, or whatever. With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Kevin Randall, and I think you get the sense of my concerns about this, that they're trying too hard to hype it in advance of the event. It's become almost a show business thing. And they're holding it in Mexico City. Why?
Because that was where they were able to get the venue. I wouldn't mind a trip to Mexico City. There's a lot of neat things to see around Mexico City. But I think the problem is some of the information leaked way early. It's not really the fault of Don or Tom that it leaked early. But some of the information that got out shouldn't have. And made it a little bit more difficult for them to do their investigation. I think that the way to do this would have been to, okay, we've got these slides. Now, how do we validate these things and do it quietly until you've got all your ducks in a row and then announce here's what we're going to do. I think of back in 1997, which is much longer ago than I care to think about. At the 50th anniversary of the Roswell crash, the big hype was they had a piece of debris, and it was going to be demonstrated at the 50th anniversary. The chain of custody had been preserved, and they were going to announce it. They were going to explain who had the metal, how he had acquired it, and they had the scientific analysis of it. And the auditorium there at the New Mexico Military Institute was filled with people and reporters waiting to see this thing. And they came on the stage and they made their presentation. They sneaked the scientist in the back door. He made his presentation. He left before questions were answered. We were never told who had the debris. The chain of custody was not presented. And then when you found the scientist and you talked to him, you found out that he was talking about isotopic ratios in the structure of the metal. Of the isotopic ratios did not match that which you'd find naturally on Earth, which means it was a manufactured piece of material. All well and good, except the isotopic ratios did not exclude it from having been produced on Earth. So it wasn't this great thing that we had expected. All of the information that we had been told prior to the thing showing up turned out not to be true. The scientist turned out not to be a professor at the university. He was in some other capacity there. He wasn't teaching. I don't think he was in research. I forget exactly what he was doing, but he worked at the university, but not in the capacity you would have hoped for. And it all came apart. I've raised questions repeatedly over the last several months about some of the issues I have that they haven't answered the questions for. And I hope they answer them in Mexico City, but I don't think they can. And without answers to those specific questions, I think they have a real problem. And then you can look at it from another point of view. Okay, the slides are real. They're pictures of something. That does not mean they show an alien creature. The way to date the film, I think if you take, and I've taken apart some of my older slides to look at the way they're done, the dating code on the film doesn't appear on every slide, so it seems unlikely, but certainly possible, that if you pulled apart one of them, you'd get the date code for 1947, which I think is what they're claiming. And the sleeves, like I said, put it in a range from 41 to 49 is when they use that particular cardboard sleeve. So you've got those problems, and I'm repeating myself now, I know it, but I just cannot see them overcoming those hurdles. And so when all is said and done, we're going to have some interesting pictures of something that's not going to really prove anything.
Now, when you have things like that, where you overpromise, you underdeliver, what happens to the UFO field in general? Do we just look crazier and crazier than we did before in terms of validity of what we have to say?
I'm not sure that we can look any crazier. if you go back and you look at the history of the alien autopsy and who actually finally exposed it as being a hoax was members in the UFO field. But all anybody's going to remember is, well, we were shown this autopsy film of this alien creature and it turned out to be fake. And we look at this piece of metal that was going to be proven to be of alien manufacture at the Roswell Festival in 1997. And it turned out that it wasn't what it was promised to be. And so I think for a lot of people it's going to be, well, yeah, we kind of expected that anyway, so no big deal. What people will remember is that the whole thing blew up. I mean, when the Air Force unveiled their idiotic Project Mogul explanation for the Roswell crash, you could see the reporters in the room weren't buying it. And now there's literally people say, oh, yeah, that was a balloon. And the evidence just does not support that conclusion. If you look at all the evidence, the Mogul flights do not explain what fell at Roswell. Doesn't mean it's alien or extraterrestrial. It just means this explanation doesn't work. But I think we're going to end up here, I think, at this point, and the overhype may be the result of people like me blogging about it, unintentionally raising the hype, although I tried to be very cautious in what I've said, and I tried to be as neutral as possible in what I've said. But there's an awful lot of hype going on other arenas, which if I was promoting this event, I'd be delighted about, because it would put more money into my pocket. But I just think it's going to turn out badly. And I find in the UFO field, when you shoot yourself in the foot, it really doesn't matter. As long as you embrace all the nonsense that's out there in the UFO field, you buy everything. You say, yes, it's all true. You validate people's belief structures. You're golden no matter what you've done in the past, what lies you've told in the past, what cases you've endorsed that have blown up in your face in the past. It doesn't matter as long as you're embracing the proper things in the UFO field.
It's the only field where people can blow their foot off and it grows back.
They blow their leg off and it grows back.
Yeah, and it's amazing how some people are outed and they kind of duck out of a view for a while and then boom, they're back. And like nothing happened. And, you know, unless you knew about the outing or whatever the scenario was.
I went through piece by piece why Robert Willingham could not be believed. I presented the documentation. We had pictures of the guy. They said, well, we got pictures of a guy in his uniform, Air Force uniform in the 1960s. Was he making the stuff up then? And I said, send me the pictures. And I looked at it, and the first thing I saw, it's a Civil Air Patrol uniform. It's not an Air Force uniform. So there's another picture of him in his Class A blue uniform with his ribbons on, but the insignia on the lapels, the U.S. that the Air Force would be wearing, is missing. And you can see the holes where he's taken it off, but he's wearing Civil Air Patrol ribbons along with his military ribbons, not all of which he earned, by the way. And so you know what he's done. He's taken off the insignia, but he left the ribbons on. You can tell they're Civil Air Patrol ribbon. In the Civil Air Patrol, you are allowed to wear ribbons you earned on active duty, but you are not allowed to wear Civil Air Patrol ribbons on your active duty uniform if you're in the Air Force. So that makes it a Civil Air Patrol uniform. We look at the documentation. Well, here's where he's altered it. These notations make no sense. These are not proper notations. And people will say, well, you know, you've just circled the wagons and you just won't listen to the facts. Excuse me? I'm telling you what's going on here. I've shown you the evidence and you're telling me, no, this doesn't count. So there's still people that argue for the legitimacy of Robert Willingham, even though I found the original story he told in 1968 about his chase of the UFO and how it evolved into something completely different by the time he was interviewed in the late 90s and the beginning of this century. But people still believe Robert Willingham, and I'm the bad guy because I pointed it out. But I was more annoyed at him claiming to be a military officer than I was his tale of a UFO crash.
So the messenger is attacked.
In the UFO field, obviously, the messenger is always the bad guy. If you suggest something isn't what it's supposed to be, you're the bad guy. Even though you can demonstrate it through the evidence, and anybody who would check the evidence would see the same thing, you're the bad guy, and this guy's records have been altered because the government is covering up the great secret.
Shades of Bob Lazar.
Shades of Bob Lazar.
Oh, please.
Mel Noel.
Oh, yes, I remember that one, but I don't want to get into it. You know what? I'm going to ask you about Mel Noel in our next segment because we have talked about Lazar on the Paracast, but we'll get into that. Anyway, Before you go on, please check plus.theparacast.com for information about the Paracast Plus, plus.theparacast.com. More with Kevin Randall and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Well, I guess we're just tearing apart the fakers, the hoaxers. We're talking about the vaporware in the UFO field. This event in Mexico City for Roswell Slides, May 5th, is it going to be something important or another sideshow? Mel Noel Kevin Randall. Tell our listeners who he was.
He was a guy who claimed to be an Air Force fighter pilot, signed to a special squadron that chased UFOs, made gun camera films of them. And he turned out not to have been a military officer, not to have been a fighter pilot. I mean, it's just the same story we hear over and over again. Another one is, I think Bill English claimed to be a special forces captain and was involved in UFOs and actually told Don and me about the nun's diary. And I'm thinking, this guy's an ex-Green Beret, a special forces captain. I believe what he's saying. And we got his record and turned out, yes, he served in the Army. He was a PFC. It just goes on and on and on like that throughout the UFO field. Cliff Stone, say what you will about Cliff Stone. He claimed to be a sergeant first class in the Army, and he was. Claimed to have served in Vietnam, and the records bore that out. He served in Vietnam. He was a clerk typist in Vietnam, but he was still in Vietnam, set foot in country. So, you know, at least with Cliff Stone, he was telling the truth about his military record when he talked about having been in Vietnam and been a sergeant first class. There were other problems with his tales, but that came out in other investigations. But I mean, there are so many of these stories throughout the UFO field. It's just absolutely preposterous anymore. And I try to check these things out as much as I can. With the Willingham thing, I thought others had checked it out before me. And I talked to Bruce McAbee about it. And Bruce said, well, Todd Zeckel checked it out. And I'm thinking, well, if Zeckel checked it out, maybe I better do something too. But everybody thought somebody else had done it. So I went and did it again. And it turned out his records didn't line up with what he was saying. But we can check those records now. Glenn Toy, a name you probably do not know, who was involved in the sightings at White Sand Missile Range the day after the Levelland sightings in November of 1957, saw an object with his partner. I checked him out. Glenn Toy is exactly who he said he was. Never made up any stories, never, you know, he just has this wonderfully nice little UFO sighting in, at White Sands Missile Range the day after, actually the same morning, but hours after the Levelland sightings had ended. But I checked it out, got his record, and he was exactly who he said he was. So some of them do check out, and some of them do not.
Of course, even if they check out, no proof. But that demonstrates the validity of their claims. Let's get back to Roswell shortly before we go to other subjects and lots of questions from our listeners. So the Dream Team book, not going to happen.
No.
We don't know about Roswell slides, but we have suspicions. Does that end it as far as Roswell research is concerned? Where can we possibly go from here, especially if the Roswell slides event is another debacle?
I have been looking at it as a cold case myself and looking at other things and trying to put it all together. So I'm trying to put together the information into a book. We actually had an opportunity to sell the Roswell, the Ultimate Roswell book to a hardback prestigious publishing house, but the window closed before we got done on all the investigation. If the slides blow up, it is not, I think the thing is the slides, and Tom and Don have kind of tried to do this, is distance the slides a little bit from the Roswell case. But if the slides blow up, it's just one more bump in the road, I guess. I mean, we've had the alien autopsy, which blew up. But there's a core of good, solid information there that has not blown up on us. So we can continue to look at that. We're to the point where people who were assigned to the base in 1947 are no longer around to tell us what they saw or didn't see. But we can look at what has been said in the past and see how it all hangs together. And there's some things that are going on in the background that may bear some fruit. Areas of investigation, people who looking a little bit deeper into the backgrounds may provide some more information. So there may be some things going on that will help. But if the slides blow up, it's going to damage the Roswell case. It can't help but damage it because there's just one more example of somebody trying to connect something to Roswell and blew up. So it's going to damage that whole thing. But we have to look at the entirety of the UFO field, and everybody says, well, it began in June of 1947 with Arnold, but it really didn't. It began in the early 1940s with the Foo Fighters in Europe, and we can see the connection with the Foo Fighters to the Ghost Rockets to an investigation that began unofficially in 1946 at Wright Field that evolved into Project Sign, an official investigation. So the history transcends Roswell, and there's some very good information going on there, and all if all that comes forward, it helps the field as a whole and may help Roswell a little bit. But we can't go back and talk to Walter Hodd anymore. We can't talk to Jesse Marcel. We can't talk to Patrick Saunders. We can't talk to William Blanchard. We can't talk to Bill Brazel. You know, all these people have since died. We've got some good stuff on tape, both audio and videotapes from these people, so you can look at all of that. So you can kind of reinvestigate, but developing new information about it, unless somebody stumbles onto the file folder with some very good documentation in it, then we're going to be kind of speculating from this point on.
Speaking of speculations, are you aware of the claims made by the former international director of MUFON, James Carrion, about the ghost rockets being some kind of military disinformation thing? And I guess he's suggesting that Roswell might be something similar, although he hasn't come out with all the information yet.
The problem with his theory is that if you look at the documentation from the embassies and the people who are involved in it, and I'm thinking specifically Howard McCoy, they have nothing to do with it. It's not disinformation. The original idea was it was the Soviets trying to intimidate the Scandinavians with the ghost rockets. They'd be with what they'd captured from the Nazis after the end of World War II. And they were trying to intimidate specifically the Swedes. But there's no evidence in the files that have now been opened up after the collapse of the Soviet Union to support that conclusion. And the documentation really doesn't suggest that this is going on at the highest levels of the American intelligence community to either intimidate the Swedes or as some kind of a disinformation ploy, because the guys who are involved in it, like Howard McCoy, are as puzzled as the rest of us. What's interesting, however, McCoy had gathered all this ghost rocket material, and once the investigation became public, all those records disappeared. He got rid of them. And my understanding is they're buried under the golf course at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Isn't everything?
No, this was used for landfill.
We'll get into landfills and much more with Kevin Randall. I'm not serious. With Gene and Chris, you're in Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
By now you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Kurt 70, author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Kevin Randall, we're discussing Roswell and now Ghost Rockets with Gene and Chris. Now, I think the theory that I read in the Rosetta Deception from Carry On was that we were trying to spook the Russians in doing this stuff with Ghost Rockets, but you don't think he's made the case?
No, I don't think he's made the case, and I think the documentation, when you look at all the documentation, especially that comes out from what Howard McCoy was doing, it kind of suggests that the theory is inaccurate. You know, I don't, the evidence is not there to support the theory. You know, it's an interesting idea, and there are some things about the Ghost Rockets that are extremely puzzling. But, you know, I look at the information that's been developed by the Swedish UFO researchers, and I discuss it at length in the government UFO files, but it's just suggestive of it having nothing to do with a disinformation campaign or attempt to spook the Soviets. And then you look at the crash on Spitsbergen Island and what's going on there, and you find out that this is, you know, that's really kind of a hoax and has nothing to do with UFOs whatsoever. So there's all these things going on, but I don't think it's really disinformation ploys from the United States, and I don't think it was the Soviets attempting to intimidate the Swedish government, and I really don't know what it was. You know, a lot of the things were seen to kind of explode in the air, and a lot of them seemed to crash, but they never seemed to recover any debris that would explain exactly what it was. You know, so there's some problems with these theories. So I, you know, Carrion's got an interesting idea, but I don't think the documentation supports it.
Chris, we've got loads and loads of questions from our listeners.
And I think this first question is appropriate for where we are in this conversation. This comes from Sublight, who is one of our new signees at forum.theparacast.com, where you can post questions for our guests. Mr. Randall, why, after all these years, is so much attention placed on Roswell and so little attention has been given to the 1947 saucer wave itself during that same summer? There are so many detailed accounts of people who saw these things. It's always frustrated me that so much time has been sucked into Roswell, and I feel that we've lost a lot of information we could have gained by interviewing people over the last 30 or 40 years about what they saw during that same summer, and perhaps we could get more details or more information, or we could have. Comments about that. That's a good point. There were an amazing amount of sightings during that summer of 47, which has kind of been lost in the shuffle over the years.
Well, if you take a look at what Ted Blocher's monograph, The Wave of 1947, you get an awful lot of that information. You can go to your newspaper files and look the stuff up yourself. One of the things that I did as I was doing the government UFO files is I was looking for any sightings of discs that were reported prior to Kenneth Arnold, because, you know, the theory is the idea of a flying saucer was born out of a mistake that one of the reporters made when Arnold said that the craft moved like saucers skipping across the water. They described them as disc-shaped objects or flying saucers, and, you know, this was a misnomer. So I was looking for sightings of discs that were reported prior to Arnold. One of the things they pointed out to, and it's something that anybody can do, was a sighting in Cedar Rapids, Iowa on June 23rd of a railroad man. I don't remember if he was an engineer or a conductor or what he was, but he'd seen 10 disc-shaped objects in the sky. And you look at Frank Edwards' work, and he's mentioned it, and I think Wendy Connors, in their book about Alfred Loading, which examines a lot of the 47 stuff, references to Frank Edwards. Richard Hall in his UFO Evidence mentioned the case and dated it off for June 23rd, 1947. So I said, well, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, I'm going to go look at the newspaper. I finally found the case. It took place at best on the same day as the Arnold sighting. It wasn't reported till days later. It didn't take place in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It took place in Joliet, Illinois. And so I chased that story down because it would have been a disc-shaped, a sighting of disc-shaped objects reported prior to Arnold. It turned out not to be true. The point being is we haven't lost the opportunity. A lot of that research has been done. A lot of it is in especially the older UFO books, so you can go back and look at that stuff. You can go back to the newspaper files. You can find people who are around in 1947 who remember this stuff, and you can look it all up. So a lot of that work has been done, and it's out there. You just have to assemble it yourself. But one of the first places to start would be Ted Blocher's The Wave of 1947, and it's available for free online. You just type Ted Blocher's name in The UFO Wave from 1947, and you'll get to that, and there's a wonderful resource that provides that sort of information. So I don't think we've lost it. We focused on Roswell because if Roswell turns out to be true, if Roswell was a crash of an alien craft, then we prove the case and we can stop arguing about whether they're alien visitation or not. We can now move on to other arenas of investigation. That's why Roswell has taken over the majority of the research. But the other research you want is out there. It's printed in the books. It's printed in the newspapers. It's out there for the person who wants to look for it.
Now, I understand the value of Roswell. Evidence of alien life, evidence of alien technology. But if we've reached the end point in getting new evidence, we've reached the point where there's not much more to be found unless some real smoking gun, and I have my doubts about Roswell slides, is found.
Let me just add something here that may be of interest, I think, to Kevin and yourself and our listeners. A friend of the show, Ron Reguerre, has been putting the finishing touches on, I guess the working title is Another Damn Book About Roswell. Some of the things that I've discussed with him about his work is very intriguing and could possibly be considered new evidence about this case. A lot of this has to do with the actual photographs taken of Jesse Marcel and the supposed mogul balloon wreckage, and also General Rainey. The photographs also show him and the note in his hand. There's been some forensic analysis work done on that particular note that he has in his hand. And Ron Reguerre has uncovered from the Bettman archives a very interesting photograph that appears to show the Roswell wreckage, but it looks like it's much thicker in this particular photograph that was uncovered out of the Bettman archive. And he also has some other interesting tidbits that he's going to have in there, and I don't want to steal his thunder on it. But rest assured, I think it's going to raise some eyebrows. He has gone about this this whole thing in a new and sort of forensic sort of manner, which I applaud. And he's been doing some very good work, and I'm really excited to see the results of this work. I believe the book will be published by Keyhole Publishing, Richard Dolan's publishing company, and I'm pretty excited about this. This could be some pretty interesting additional information that has not been considered yet. So rest assured that there is still a little bit left out there, I think, about this case that is new and could possibly be bombshell material.
You know what? We have to bring Ron back on the show. Bring him over to your house so we can get a decent connection for the show, because last time we had Ron on, it was a wonderful episode. He's really a great guy. He's just a lot of fun to talk to. I met him for the first time over at the International UFO Conference. And I was helping him with his MacBook, by the way. And he just needs to use Skype or something to make that connection, and let's talk about it further. Have you heard anything of this, Kevin?
No, I have not. But the point simply is that there are places to go and research that can be done that may provide additional information.
I'll grant that. We got more questions from listeners, by the way, to get to. I just want to tell you again that we have that second radio show after the PowerCast, which is kind of a color commentary thing, but sometimes we carry over the content from this show to after the PowerCast when we need more time to talk about it, like last week with our Shop Talk 2015 episode with Bernd State, one of our active forum members. We all reconvened at After the PowerCast to find out more about the PowerCast Plus. Go to plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com. We have Kevin Randall with us this week with Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast. Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TECHNIGHTOWL for a special discount.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Kevin Randall joining us. Chris O'Brien, we've got some more questions from listeners.
I do. Speaking of Burnt State, our good friend who's one of our posters at forum.theparacast.com, who's actually passed the 3,000 post mark recently.
And that was and all yesterday.
Yeah, probably. Well, he's got another post here for us. And, I think a good one to start with is this one. Historically, what investigators and theorists to date have provided some positive critical direction regarding the UFO phenomenon, and who do you feel is currently leading the investigation in an innovative manner? What techniques and methods do you feel will help to shed light on this enduring problem?
Wow, I don't even know where to begin. Good Lord. What I found is I've done something what I call chasing footnotes. And you look at how something is footnoted in a book and you chase it to what is referenced to see if you can get to the original source material. And then it provides you with some interesting insights into what was going on. I suppose if you're going to be honest about this, if you're looking for the leaders in the UFO field, you have to start with Stan Friedman, who wins the title simply by longevity. You have to look at Tom and Don are doing their thing and trying to get to the bottom of the case, and they're looking at a lot of stuff. George Filer with his Filer Files provides a lot of information, but I don't think he screens it critically. I think he just publishes what he gets, which is kind of the Len Stringfield way of doing it, is I've got this information, I can't do anything with it, but here it is, maybe you can learn something about it, and let me know what you find out, and we'll update it as we go along. You know, I know the Center for UFO Studies is not functioning at top speed. They had to eventually give up on the IUR. You know, so if you want to look at the investigation, I focus on the nuts and bolts stuff. There's people doing a lot of work on abductions. That's something else. You've got people looking at cattle mutilations. You've got people who are interested in landing traces and following that stuff up. Ted Phillips has got that investigation going on in Missouri, which is more of a spook-like phenomenon than it is alien visitation type thing, but it's interesting nonetheless. So there's a lot of that stuff going on, and I guess you could say the UFO field is like any discipline where there's a lot of subsets to it, and you just find the subset that interests you. I did mention crop circles. There's people who are very interested in crop circles and what they're doing. So you just have to find the people in that field who are doing the work that you are interested in. I was looking at John Mack's work because of his credentials. You know, Bud Hopkins was doing some interesting stuff, but you know, we've lost both of them, and so that's kind of fallen off the rails. And I don't see a lot of about abductions like we used to. I don't know, but I don't actively search that sort of thing out. So I guess that kind of is an answer to the question, sort of, maybe.
What about the idea of real-time hard data monitoring of triangulated camera arrays, magnetometer, gravitometer type gear in concert with triangulated optical?
Let's do it. That's wonderful. In today's environment, you can set it up through the Internet. That's a wonderful idea. Let's do it. I also remember back in the early days of Blue Book, Ed Ruppel talked about putting out cameras, especially with the green fireballs over the desert Southwest. And he said, well, we never got the cameras there and they never took any photographs. But if you take a look at some of the documentation that comes out of the green fireballs, and granted, this is the 1940s again, early 1950s, there was a picture taken, but I don't know where it went. I don't know what happened to it. And so that's one of the other things. You need to go into the archives. You need to look at the documentation and see where that leads you today too. But if you can set up some kind of triangulation, back in the 1960s when I lived in Colorado, the Denver UFO Society had tried to set something up like that, and they had a sort of a phone tree around the Denver metropolitan area, which was quite huge for those of you who don't know Denver. And I think we got actually one phone call about an object in the sky somebody had spotted, and we went out and looked, and in fact it was a weather balloon. But the point is, you know, that sort of thing has been attempted in the past, but in today's environment with instant communications.
Right, and affordable technology.
Yes, and I mean, good Lord, my cell phone, but has a 13 megapixel camera on it, for God's sakes. So, I mean, it that's something can be done. You can do it through Skype. You can do it through the Internet. You could just set something wonderful up and might be able to get some very dramatic evidence that way.
Yeah. Well, that leads us to a question by one of our friendly skeptics who has returned to the forum after a long absence, Angel of – I don't know how you had to – is it Lauren? I'm not sure how to
– We just call him Angelo. That's his real
name. Well, it's Angelo, yeah. But okay. His avatar is of Mario. The video game character. Well, you know, since we're talking about technology, we're talking about cameras, cell phones, that sort of thing. This question is a good one. Despite the fact that everyone has HD video cameras with them now, UFO sightings are rarely caught on video. It seems as though overall UFO sightings have actually gone down. I feel as though this is due to the fact that people are more informed now about what in the world they are seeing when the most famous sightings did happen. Also, if they do capture something, be it an image or video, that image is often clear, and one can tell that they caught a bird or a conventional aircraft or whatever. Do you feel that it's strange that with so many cameras out there, Kevin, we've got nothing concrete?
I think the problem goes beyond that. And I think it's the problem that any 12-year-old kid with a computer can now fake a stunning video.
Yeah.
And there's really no way to tell.
Yeah. There are ways to tell, but not the average person, I don't think, is equipped.
But the problem is, it's very easy to fake something like this. I also think about it, a lot of the images that are captured are we've got the pictures of fireballs, for example, crossing multiple states. And the difference is they're literally 50, 60 miles high. UFOs, if you're looking at them, they're much lower, so you don't have as much opportunity to catch them on the camera. Yes, it is disturbing that there is not good cell phone video of something. But I look at some of the things from the 1950s, the film, which would make it very, very difficult. It was very difficult to fake that stuff. How they have been belittled and ignored. simply because they don't resolve into a disc-shaped craft like you would like them to, but you don't, but you still got them being belittled. And the ancillary problem is we do not seem to be getting the same sort of robust UFO sightings that we got in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And it might be partially because we are more sophisticated. We are identifying things that we would have said was a UFO, 30 years ago. We're saying, oh, yeah, well, that was an airplane or that was a bird or something like that. Or it may be that the number of sightings is down simply because we're not being visited as frequently as we used to be.
Well, people are looking at their cell phones and falling in love with their thumbs.
What was the movie? The Internship, and they're standing there at the Golden Gate Bridge, and the guy's looking at his cell phone, and Owen Wilson walks over and lifts his chin up and says, "Look at the view. You know, you don't need to look at your cell phone. Look at the view you've got here." And that may be a problem too. We're so busy looking at our cell phones, we're not looking up into the sky to see bizarre things.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a major problem. People ask me, you know, I had quite a number of, I think, bona fide quality sightings in the San Luis Valley, and people have kind of gone up to me in a very accusing sort of way and said, "Well, how come you see so many things and I don't?" And I said, "Because I look."
Yeah, that's precisely the answer too.
You have to look.
Let me just mention this because we have to break a second. This might be interesting, and there's this new product out from Apple called Apple Watch, where it becomes an accessory to like an iPhone. And the big thing that's being touted about it in the reviews is the fact that instead of looking at your smartphone and devoting so much attention to it, and one writer says people do that like 100 times a day, smartphones, you just glance the watch very quickly to get a notification of something, or it gives you a tactic message on your wrist. And you get the message quickly and get back to your business. So instead of looking at your smartphone all day, you maybe have the casual glance at your Apple Watch, and then maybe you look up to the skies and maybe you see something. I don't know if Apple's going to solve the problem, but that's the theory anyway. Chris O'Brien and Gene with Kevin Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.